Amen. What a beautiful prelude this morning, Sherry. We're going to start right off with singing an upbeat song. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Sing with me this morning. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying, no more crying there. We are going to see the King. Yes, there'll be no more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. How many know that old song, I'll Fly Away? Sing it with me this morning. Let's go. Some bad morning when this light's on, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together and worship you and sing songs about heaven. Lord, we're thankful that we have a place to look forward to. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we know that you're going to come and meet with us today. Lord, be in every part, the music, even the announcements and the message, Lord. Speak to hearts this morning. And for all you do, we'll give you all the glory and all the praise. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears . How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Sing this chorus with me. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. Like a flood, his mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. And the Lord has promised good to me, his word, my hope secure. My shield and portion me as long as life endures. My chains are gone. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace. And my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, ransomed me. And like mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. And the earth shall soon be dissolved like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but amen. Are you thankful that in Jesus your chains are gone this morning? Amen. I'm so thankful for that this morning. I want to share just a brief testimony with you. And it's something that I didn't get to a little bit later. But I got sick this week. I got sick on Wednesday. And I was in bed Wednesday night through a Friday evening. And I texted Pastor Rob around 6:30 or 7 and my music team. And I said, I don't know if I'm going to make it because it's just really sick. And that was around 6:30 or 7. And around 8 o'clock, I went back to bed after I shot them a message. I woke up and I felt pretty good. And I chalked it up because usually in the evenings, I'll feel a little bit better if I'm sick. And then at night and in the morning, I'm just back to it. So I just like, well, great. I feel a little bit better. I went to bed, had a great night of sleep, woke up fine. Did my normal activities and called Pastor Rob, said, hey, I can make it. I feel good. I didn't really think much of it. But Pastor Rob sent me a text after I had sent him that I wasn't feeling good. And he said, I'm praying hard for you. That word hard, like, just stood out to me. And this morning when I was at the church office, or just leaving, God's like, hey, idiot, I helped you. I healed you. You don't just get better like that usually. Usually it's a thing. And you need to give me the glory for that this morning. And you need to share that with the people. Because I kind of went through Saturday. I'm just like, oh, great. I feel good now. But that doesn't happen for me. I get sick quite often. And I never get better just like that. It was around 7 o'clock. I woke up at 8. And I felt fine. And I just want to give him the glory. And I changed up the music a little bit. I want to sing this chorus. If you stand with me while we sing this, if you're able. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship, for you deserve the glory. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift the whole. You deserve the glory and the honor. Oh Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. For you are great, you still do miracles so great, and there is no one else like you. There is no one else like you, for you are great, and you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. sing it again. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we pray. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship. Your holy name, for you are great, and you do miracles so great, and there is no one else like you. There is no one else like you, for you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you, for you are great, and you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you, for you are great, and you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you.
We're going to go to prayer this morning. I'm going to ask you to just remain standing as we do. Thank you for that testimony, Steve. Thank you for sharing the goodness of God. And saints, I want you to know something. God's not a respecter of people. The Bible says he is not a respecter. That just means he doesn't value some more than others. He doesn't say, well, look at this one. I'm going to really pour blessing or healing into them. And here are my other children and I don't really care. No. No respecter. The same God that's healed Steve Friday night into Saturday morning through prayer and faith is the same God who's here this morning to touch us. How many of you would say, Pastor Rob, I've got a burden and a need today. I've come to the house of God with just a real situation that's on my heart. It's heavy. And I just need to give it over to God today. Just lift a hand. Slip it up. God will see those hands. It's not for me so much. It's for God. You're just saying, God, I'm giving you my burden. I'm giving you my need. I'm giving you my problem. It might be sickness. It could be a family problem. It could be for wisdom. It could be a financial situation. God knows. God knows. God's got the answer this morning. He says, come to him and trust him. Come in faith. So let's put our faith to work this morning. We want to pray this morning looking at our bulletin. We want to lift up David Winter facing some tests. Bill Evers has a good report, was in for surgery. He's back at home resting today. We want to pray that God will continue to touch him. And we want to lift up Georgia Dugan. Kurt went home to be with the Lord earlier, last week, and we just want to remember Georgia this morning, that God would encourage her and family. And then I just learned this morning, some of you know this because of Metal's Facebook, but the Caswells, Bob and Maureen, went home to be with the Lord. They were longtime members. I never met them, gone before I came, but longtime members here at Nettles. You know what the beautiful thing was? They went home holding hands together. That's almost unheard of. I don't know that I've ever heard of that before. But they held hands and God just took them. They didn't, you know, we talk about going from here to there. And I don't mean this in a weird way, but when you live for Jesus, you never die. Because the minute you close your eyes, you're opening them in another place. You're home. You're in eternity. And yes, there's the physical part. There's the celebration of life, or there's the funeral or whatever, and family gathers, and there's tears, and then there's some joy when we talk about the good things. But for a believer, to be out of this body is to be instantly in present with the Lord. So we just want to remember the Caswell family today as we pray in all of your needs. So let's go to prayer today, shall we? Let's bow our hearts and let's lift our faith and let's believe together. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you're still a God that works in our lives. I think of the verse that says that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we ask, and you tell us to ask and to seek and to knock, and the door be opened unto us. And Lord, I am asking today, not knowing the needs of the hands that went up, but you do. And so, Lord, the same work that ministered to Steve on Friday night, would you just begin to minister your power, your victory, your answers. Let the glory of God come down into the lives of your people as they've lifted their hands. We lift up Dave and Bill, and we lift up Georgia this morning. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the Caswell family. Lord, for these that have gone from earth to glory. Lord, that's our home, and we're excited for them. We're thankful that they're home. Bless their family. Touch them. Minister to them in their grief, oh God. Father, we just commit this to you, and we just ask that you would do mighty things. God, that this would just be a foretaste, a foreshadow of things to come as we live in these days and as we need you more and more and more and more. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory, and we lift up the name of Jesus in this house of worship today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all the good things that you're doing, and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I just want to take a moment. I'm going to ask our ushers to make their way to the front, because we're going to take a moment to welcome any new friends that are with us today. So ushers, come on and make your way to the front. We'll get ready to do that. But we love having new folks at Nettles Island Church. It's always a pleasure. It's a delight and a great joy when folks check us out. And we honor that. We don't take that lightly. And one of the things we do is we have a little welcome packet. It's a little promise book. It has the promises of the Word of God in it. Makes it real easy to find it when you're looking for something or you're praying and you need peace or you need joy or you need healing. A lot of the scriptures are lined up right there. It's a little gift. In that is also a little card that if you would be so kind, if you feel like it, we would love if you just fill out the information, fold it, drop it in the offering plate as you leave and exit the building today. If you just drop it in there, we're not going to hound you. I'm not showing up at your door on Monday morning. Promise you that, but we'll probably send you a little card and tell you thank you for coming, and we're here for you. If we can be a blessing to you as a church, we want to do that. So with all of that being said, if you're here today for the very first time, would you slip a hand up, hold it up, ushers will come right down to you and they'll give you this little gift. First time here, anybody at all, very first time. All right, back here some. Anybody on this side over here? All right. Well, thank you. Let's give our new folks and our new friends a great big Nettles Island welcome today. God bless you. Thanks for being here with us today. Amen. And amen and amen. Well, this morning we're going to be blessed with a special with Steve and Bruce, and they're going to minister to us Blessed Assurance. Thank you.
told him, I kind of want to sing along.
Sing with me this morning.
Blessed assurance. Amen.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the
Amen. Aren't you thankful that's the biggest story this morning?
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's always a good day when we're praising the Lord. Amen. Because the praise goes up and the presence and the power of God comes down. It's really a delight this morning to have with us my father-in-law, Cindy's dad, Reverend Dan Johnson, all the way from Memphis, Tennessee. It's not the first time that he's been here. He's preached for us in the past, and in your bulletin,
and it gives a little bio on him. And you know what's so amazing to me is Dan is 91, and he preaches every. Did you know that? And he's still preaching every Sunday somewhere. He's still serving the Lord, living for God, honoring the Lord today, and that just encourages my heart. Reminds me of what Corrie Ten Boom said one day. She said, there's no such thing as retirement for Christians. You just have to retread and keep rolling down the road. So we're excited today to have Dan Johnson, Reverend Johnson, with us. And he is an author, former pastor. He has been an evangelist. He has just done so many of the different aspects of ministry. And he is a gem and a real jewel. And you're going to certainly enjoy him as he comes to bring the word to us today. So let's give my father-in-law, Cindy's dad, and Pastor Johnson a great big hand as well for this morning.
The first time I've ever been called a gem and a jewel. What a pleasure to be here with Pastor Rob and Cindy and our family and all of you. I often pick up your service on Sunday afternoon at my place, and so admired. I love your music. I love your choir. And this guy playing the trumpet this morning, man, beautiful. You had a guy up here a couple weeks ago, Mike, singing. Oh, man, you ought to sing every Sunday. Beautiful. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to obscure reality with magic? you can paint a picture that is not real with colors that dazzle and blind you. You disguise facts that are mostly fiction with a sort of verbal sleight of hand. You make things out to appear to be what they really are.
It's called the art of politics.
I have a friend in Seattle whose name is Greg Asimakopoulos. You heard that.
Greg Asimakopoulos. His father was a preacher, and I think he got tired of spelling his name to his parishioners, so he changed his name
to Smith. And he is Pastor Smith, but he is still Asimakopoulos. But take Christmas, for example. The lights and sounds and mystery and magic and generous gifts and delicious dinners and trips to Grandma's house. But the first Christmas was not like that. A little Jewish girl, probably in her teens, great with child, riding down from Nazareth to Bethlehem on a donkey. And they arrive in Bethlehem and the place is crowded because the king has given a decree that all the world should be taxed, which meant that everybody should go to the county seat or go to their home where the paperwork is kept so we could keep track of everybody and everybody could be taxed. The IRS was very busy. And Joseph went in the inn and asked for a room, but they said, every room, everybody have come from all over. And I have wondered if the innkeeper's wife stood and looked at that little Jewish girl, and he said to her husband, "Babe, isn't there something we can do?" In those days, they didn't have a Hilton or a Sheraton. They just had little houses, and you'd go down this hall, and the cattle were down there, the cow, and maybe some other godforsaken creatures. And so they fixed a little place down there. And Mary gave birth to the Son of God. And they wrapped the baby in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Silent night, holy night. Not that first Christmas. And then when the king learned that a baby king had been born, he was furious. And in order to protect his throne, he had every baby boy under 2 years of age in Bethlehem put to death. And so Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Egypt. And it's very interesting, from the day he was born, Jesus, they're trying to put him to death from the beginning. Then after 2 years in Egypt, he came back and they took him up to Nazareth. And Nazareth was not a very pleasant place. Nazareth, a little town way up in Galilee. And read in the 69th Psalm. 69th Psalm tells the story of Nazareth. You see, Jesus was born to a woman who was not married. That spells scandal. And so Jesus is involved in this. And there's a reproach. You read it about it in the 69th Psalm. And they laughed about him in the bars. They made fun of this little Jewish girl over here. And some, perhaps she was impregnated by a Roman soldier passing across Galilee. And they laughed about him and about Jesus. And until the day he died, they accused Jesus of being born of fornication. And his brothers didn't believe in him. They must have looked askance at this boy. This is something different about this boy, this brother of ours. And at one point, when Jesus was preaching, Mary and the brothers came to take him home. They thought he'd lost his mind. So Jesus spends 30 years growing up in a carpenter shop in a town where he and his mother were something of a scandal. And then he begins his public ministry in Luke chapter 4, and he's given the scroll, and he reads from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me with gladness," and I'm going to go preach and read it in your Bible. Before that day was done, they tried to push him over the cliff and kill him. And so he moved his headquarters from Nazareth to Capernaum, over the road a little ways, over there in the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus would go to Jerusalem from time to time for the Jewish feasts, but he went with some reluctance because although he loved Jerusalem, that was his father's. The temple was there. That's where people met God. And but that was the seat of the Roman government in Israel, and it was the seat of the ecclesiastical hierarchy, the big shots, the scribes and Pharisees, the high priest, people who looked askance at this Nazareth preacher, this guy from Galilee. And they didn't want somebody to come and upset the apple cart. And so Jesus came to Jerusalem as infrequently as he could. But when he would come, he would preach and teach and heal some folks. And then at night, this is very interesting, he'd take his disciples and he'd go down to 2 miles down from Jerusalem to a little town called Bethany on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. How he got acquainted with Martha and Mary and Lazarus, we don't know. But he found Bethany to be a safe place. They loved him. They loved Jesus, and Jesus loved them. And when he would go with his disciples at night and had shut the door, leave the tension, the threats, the skepticism, and all that outside, and for a few hours in those long evenings, they would talk perhaps about the kingdom of God. Martha would go and fix them some dinner. You know, it's very interesting to me. My Martha thought she got a bad rap in the scripture story of Martha and Mary, because Mary's always sitting around talking theology with Jesus, and Martha's fretting. She's in the kitchen. She's making everything just perfect. It's a funny thing, you know. Nobody ever complained when Martha came out of the kitchen with a nice dinner. And Jesus loved to go to Bethany. Everybody needs a Bethany. In my text, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethlehem, to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrance oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used it to take what was in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial." And now Jesus comes to the last week of his life. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, which was his favorite place to pray. He takes with him Peter and James and John and goes a little farther. And then he leaves them and goes a little farther. And he gets down and prays to his Father and says, "Father, if there is any way, we can do this in another way. If there's any way this cup could pass from me." And then he paused and said, "But not my will, And then he did that three times. And then as he returned to his disciples, here comes the sound of boots and the lighting of the torches and the mob. And Judas steps forward, one of the 12, and kisses Jesus. And they take him to the house of the high priest. Jeremiah Denton, who served 6 or 7 years in Hanoi Hilton, Vietnam War, tortured, beaten, was released at the end of the war and served in the United States Senate, some of you will remember. And he wrote the story of his life. The title of his autobiography was When Hell Was in Session. Hell was in session that night Jesus spent in the house of Caiaphas. They took off his robe and put on a special fancy robe to mock him because he called himself a king. They beat him. They blindfolded him and someone slapped him and said, "Who slapped you?" That night when hell was in session. And then early in the morning, they took him to the house of Pilate, who was the governor, to accuse him because they didn't have the right. They could not legally put someone to death. They wanted to do it properly. So they wanted the Roman governor to crucify him. And this went back and forth for some time. Pilate finally said, "I find no fault in him. No reason why. But because the people clamored for it," he said, "take him out and crucify him." But then before they did that, they flogged him. It was not enough to crucify him. They had to flog him. And that Roman flogging, that was beyond words. And then they put a cross on his shoulders and he went to the cross and they threw that cross down and they laid him on it and they put nails in his hands and feet and he hung on that cross. His back is lacerated. His bones are probably out of joint from the flogging and the beating. His brow is bleeding. Spittle and tears flow from his eyes and his lips. And there was no hospice on Calvary. Those hospice people came straight from heaven. You say, "No, they're angels." No, they're ahead of, they're above the angels. You call them at midnight and in 20 minutes they're at your front door. But there was no hospice on Calvary. And Jesus hung there every thread and fiber of his being crying. And he would dry the tears in his eyes, but his hands have nails in them, and he can't. But when his eyes clear a little bit, I think he looks down to see. I wonder if Peter's down there. You know, Peter said, "Oh, Jesus, I'll go with you. I'll go with you to the grave. You count on me. I'll never." No, Peter's not down there. He looks down and wonder if Andrew's there. Andrew, that quiet disciple who first brought his brother Peter to Jesus. I don't see Andrew down there. How about James? Peter, James, and John, the three closest friends of Jesus. James is not there. Only John and his mother and a few ladies. Now Judas has betrayed him. Peter has denied him. But our Lord is waiting for a voice. You see, when he began his ministry at the age of 30, one of the first things he did was go to the Jordan and be baptized by John the Baptist. And coming up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. And a voice came from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And I have thought, what a confirmation and affirmation. What an encouragement for this young preacher to have this kind of support from heaven as he began his ministry. Now, as he is moving toward the final days and weeks of his ministry, he takes his disciples and then Peter, James, and John up into a mountain and is transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his garments became white like the light. And they were enclosed in a cloud, and then out of the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And Jesus, knowing what he was facing, must have been encouraged. In that moment, to have the confirmation and affirmation from his Father, he's not alone in this. Now Judas has betrayed him. Peter has denied him. Days ago, the crowd threw palm branches on his path and cried, "Hosanna, Hosanna," only days later to cry, "Let him be crucified." And now Jesus is forsaken. The whole world has rejected him. And Jesus is waiting for that voice. That voice that never comes. Never comes. It never comes because Jesus now, who has never sinned, has become sin. He has become sin. And the sins of the whole world through all the centuries has been put on him. And he is to become the ultimate sacrifice, to die on that cross and take away the sins of the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And in a verse that is offensive to some, in the book of Isaiah the prophet, it says, "It pleased the Lord to bruise him." Now the Father is not pleased because Jesus has become sin. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." And there he hangs. He's dying. No hospice, no medic come by. The whole world has rejected him. And his Father turns his face. And in a cry from the deepest soul, one can only imagine, he cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You will note, this is the one prayer in your Bible where Jesus prayed to God without calling him Father, because there's been a breach, you see. Now, I don't want to make too much of this, but don't stop me now. On that cross, Jesus was as human as you are right now. But he was also God. He was the God-man. And in his humanness, in his humanity, there is sadness, there's grieving, there's happiness, there's meditation, there's thought, there's all of these things. As humans, we are human. We're all human beings. And I have wondered, Jesus is dying, and in those closing minutes of his life, the whole world has rejected him. His Father has forsaken him. In reverie, in his mind, and I've wondered if he didn't go to Bethany. That was a safe house. Those were his people. They loved him, and he loved them. Everybody needs a Bethany. And I have wondered, before that world was, you read in your Bible, at noon, the earth was plunged into darkness. And before that happened, I wondered if Jesus didn't remember Mary anointing him with that oil. And I wondered if in the closing moments of his earthly life, he didn't smell the fragrance. And that was a comfort to him. A little story. Years ago in the Second World War, you remember there was a scarcity. They rationed, remember they rationed gas, they rationed food. We couldn't even buy bubble gum, I remember that. They rationed tires, and housing was a challenge like it is today in many cities. There was this family up in the Northeast someplace. A mother and her son lived in this lovely home. The father had died, her husband, and she and her son lived there. In the providence of God, he met a girl in church and fell in love, and they were married. And one day she called her son and said, "Now, look, we've got this house, we've got two floors. Let me make an apartment upstairs, and I'll live up here, and you can live down here with your bride." And they did that, and it worked out fine. And in those days, we had no television. And we had no iPhones or smartphones or dumb phones. And in the evening, they, instead of watching television or, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 people in a room, not talking to each other, but looking at a phone. It came from China or somewhere. And they would sit around and read or listen to the radio. Or visit. They loved to visit. And this woman had a son, this grown son, and they loved to visit. And a mother and a boy have a special relationship. My boy and his mother could just talk for hours because they had mutual interests. They loved the backyard, the flowers, the bushes, the trees. My boy feed the raccoons and the squirrels, and the other day he called and said, "I fix up a thing for the hummingbirds. I got 5 hummingbirds today." He spent hours in his yard. And his yard, and he would send pictures of his mother, pictures of the house to his mother's yard. His yard was perfect. I never had that problem. And my son is warily anticipating his 60th birthday on March 18th. I say warily because that will remind him that on the morning of his last birthday, instead of his mother calling on the phone and singing happy birthday, as was her custom, his father called to say, "Your mother just had a stroke." And so, as the weeks turned into months and the months went by, the mother and her son had less time. In the nature of things, he's married, but she misses those long, unhurried visits. On her birthday, he went downtown and bought her a beautiful dress and brought it home. Went upstairs and said, "Happy birthday, Mother." And she opened it up and there it was. And he knew something is wrong. "And what is it? Don't you like it?" "Oh," she says, "it's a beautiful dress." "Is it? It's the right size, isn't it?" "Yeah, it's the right size." "Listen, you can't fool your mother." He knew something was wrong. And he said, and then he took out the sales slip and said, "Mother, if you don't like it, you can take it back and get something else." And then she went to the closet and opened the door. And she said, look, I won't live long enough to wear all these dresses. I don't want yours, I want you. And I have wondered, and I don't know how this works, but I have wondered if we can't even now gladden the heart of Jesus in our tears and prayers and devotion and time. And I have wondered if Jesus doesn't say to us, I don't want yours, I want you. God, our Father, in Jesus' name, help us to fall in love with Jesus and make him happy through our devotion. For it is in his name we pray.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My
think about what you've just heard. Just take the next moment or two and just in the quietness of this morning, just kind of find a way to close yourself in, just you and Jesus. Everybody needs a Bethany. What a powerful, powerful thought this morning that has been presented in this message. We say so many times and very often, oh, God loves us, Jesus loves us. But today the challenge is to really look to see into our hearts, how's our relationship going upward, heavenward? How's our love, affection, our relationship with Jesus this morning? He's done so much for us. He's given us what no one and nothing in this world could ever do. He's offered to us through his death, the sacrifice on the cross, his burial, and then his glorious resurrection. He's offered us eternal life. We just sang it. Mansions of glory and heaven's delight. Do you love him this morning? Does your heart desire Jesus above anything else? Is he your all in all this morning? As you search your heart, if you find that maybe there are things that are competing with your love for Jesus, could be a family member, could be some activity or a hobby or something that you just desire, we can rectify that right here before we dismiss this service. You simply need to say, Lord, I want to transition. I want to change. I want to love you. I want to desire you. I want to follow hard after you more than anything else that this world could ever offer to me. Forgive me that I've put other things first. This morning in my seat, I make this my altar. And in my altar, Lord, I lay down those things and I lift up my heart to you and say, take it and hold it and have it. For I love you, Jesus. If you'll pray that, if you'll say that, there'll be a transformation that'll begin right this moment. You'll walk out of this place different than how you walked in. Father, we thank you this morning for bringing us together, for allowing us to exalt the name of Jesus in praise and worship, for bringing us to the opportunity of prayer where we could lift up the needs of this body and those that are not here today that we remember on our prayer list, and we pray for them. We pray in faith and we thank you, Lord, that you're a God who heals. But Lord, we don't want to chase after you or serve you because of what you do for us in that regard. We want to serve you because of who you are and what you mean to us. So Lord, for those of us that have struggled in that, would you forgive us today and cleanse us? Lord, as we make this altar right now, we just ask that you would be first and foremost, and that from this moment on that we would have a stronger desire to love you above everything else. Nothing in life in this world would even come close. Father, we thank you for the word of God and for Reverend Johnson today, for Dad, that you have brought him to us and you've given him this message and you've poured it into his heart that he might bring it to us, that your Holy Spirit would change us. Holy Spirit, change us is our prayer. We thank you for it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? We're going to go ahead and close with the Lord's Prayer this morning. If you need prayer today and this service ends as people are leaving, I'll stand right here and I'll wait right here for you to come and we can pray about whatever need that you might have. If you don't know Jesus and you want to receive him as your Savior today, come and join me this morning as we dismiss. But let's sing this together and then after we'll be dismissed.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. but deliver.